Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Good morning, Dave, Nady. Where's Kate?
Do we know?
She's in San Francisco.
City by the bay.
Not sure if she's hooked up yet. I know she's in the studio. I talked to her.
Sometimes I wonder, you know, and when they're in a situation like that, right? They go down, they stay in San Francisco. They're playing in Oakland. Mm-hmm. It's a 7:30 tip-off. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, at whatever time they go to the arena, if there's enough traffic to where it wouldn't just make more sense to leave from here.
Thought about it.
I mean, it probably doesn't, but it's you know how traffic is there.
You know they flew there, right?
That's
Which
right.
is hilarious. They flew to San Francisco from here.
They're going to hop a puddle jumper to Oakland?
Right. And that's the thing. I've done the flight once from Sacramento to San Francisco. If they went into San Francisco's airport, which is in South San Francisco.
That's a lot of traveling.
Yes. Here's the funny thing. I know exactly. Well, now, again, it depends on the plane and the speed and all that. But I know when I flew, I timed it. I timed it from wheels up, the moment the wheels went up to the moment the wheels went down. And it was 18 minutes and 23 seconds from here to San Francisco.
Seriously?
Which is mind-blowing when you think about
wow.
the drive.
And you're talking, okay, I've always wondered this. I know it's parsing a little bit. Mm-hmm. But when you say wheels up, you're talking about off the ground,
yes.
right? Not landing gear in.
No. Wheels up
for
as
the
in
sound
the moment I see the plane begin to rise, I start it. And then the moment it hits the ground, I stop it.
Because I know that seems absurd, but it also seems like you might not be too sure that you're off the ground until they put the landing gear in.
Yeah, true. You have the you have the tilt of the plane, but your point is valid, and it makes me mad at rich people because if I was a rich person, like a super rich person, that's one of the first things I would do is get a plane.
Get a plane. Yeah.
My God, I like to go to this little town called Wallala, which is between Jenner and Fort Bragg.
Wallala.
Well, it's Gualala, but if you're a local, how they pronounce it and they get offended, it's Wallala.
Oh, so is it North Coast
yes,
of California?
It's on Highway 1. It's between Jenner, which is about 90 miles north of San Francisco, and Fort Bragg.
Oh, okay.
In Mendocino, in southern Mendocino County. It's our little not so secret anymore, little sleepy ocean town, you know, one street with a Chevron and a couple of restaurants. So to drive there, we go 80 west to 37 San Rafael, which connects us to 101, uh-huh. which connects us up to Highway 1, and then we do the drive. And the last part of the drive is amazing because it's your
yeah, we do rebrew and
right? And then you're winding about 1,000 feet in the air with nothing, you know, you're right on the cliff of the ocean. So as you're driving up there to your left is this vast swath of ocean, and it'd be a great place to have a sports car or a motorcycle mm-hmm. because you're
all
twisting
Highway 1, really.
Absolutely. The whole drive, if you don't stop, is about three and a half hours, depending on traffic. Okay. And if you do stop, you know what you do, 4 hours or whatever. So right just south of Wallala is Sea Ranch. And Sea Ranch has a little airport there.
And that's where Katie's staying. And,
right? Yes. No, not the letter. SEA. I've used that same joke on my wife. So the flight from here to Sea Ranch is 21 minutes.
Wow.
So if you have your own plane, it's the difference between a four-hour flight and, hey, we're going to the beach house this weekend, wheels down in 21 minutes. And one of my favorite...
Take you more time to drive downtown Sacramento.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It takes more time to drive to the airport from where I live in Roseville than it does to fly to San Francisco or fly to Sea Ranch. So these people that are rich, they're we're going to go to the beach house this weekend. Hey, get on the plane with your wife and your kids or whatever, a couple of buddies. You just get on 20 minutes later. And one of my favorite things to do is go down there in July when it's 106.
Yeah.
Because by the time you get there or Monterey, it's 59, 60, 61
right.
degrees. You're looking at literally a 40-degree drop.
Ocean.
That would be nice.
Yeah. I could get into that. I just, you know, the whole – I feel like they're probably covering more mileage by – going like flying to San Francisco and then, you know, all the way to the airport and then into San Francisco
Absolutely.
And then going over to Oakland than they would be to just take a bus from Sacramento.
I know they I think I have this right. They normally do bus down there. The reason they flew down there this time is because they're flying right out to go to L.A. for the game Saturday, I think. So they have it doesn't, you know, fly down, fly back, you know.
If the plane is airball one, what would a bus be?
Ooh,
did they ground ball
one?
Okay. Did they name the bus in Major League? Because the plane was the Wahoo Express.
Yes. I don't think they named the bus.
I don't think so either.
And we all know the bus would be named Jerome Bettis. I mean, come on. Oh, wait, hold on here. Katie.
Hey.
Oh.
What the hell, man? Hi. What did you do wrong?
How's the Sea Ranch?
The Sea Ranch. Yeah. Nuts, man. we're getting some things figured out. So I guess the station can hear me okay, but we're having a hard time hearing the station back. So
turn my mic off. When you say we, do you have a friend there, a friend engineer?
A friend engineer that's working on things. But yeah, you guys, it was a little weird flying to San Francisco last night from Sacramento.
Are there people sleeping around you right now that you're trying not to wake up?
Well, it's weird because there's a bunch of people in this building, mm-hmm. and I'm in like a cubicle, basically.
Oh.
That is like a traffic cubicle, so they're not on air like all the time. So I'm trying to talk quietly as to not disturb, but that's about to end as soon as I get connected to the station.
Yeah, let's
have the fury of the cackle.
Let's disturb them. All right.
She's going to do her best Michael Bennett.
I'll bring you, I'm glad you're in because I had the morning blah pondering questions ready to go here. Something that hit me last night. I don't know if either of you are Spotify users. I'm a Spotify guy. I use that for my music mostly.
I'm a Pandora user.
Okay. Well, Spotify has charts that you can go on. You can see this is the only way I know new music is because I'll go on the charts and make myself listen to them so I can be young and hip and cool.
Graphs and charts.
Drake has a new album out.
Yeah.
16 of the top 20 songs being streamed on Spotify, including all 10 of the top 10, are Drake songs.
Okay. Did he just put out a new album, right?
Yes.
Listen, I'm not real clued into this, but
sure.
Twitter ends up filling my brain with knowledge of things I wouldn't normally.
Sure.
So there's like 22 tracks on this Drake album, right?
Yeah.
And Kendrick Lamar answered back with like one track last night and shredded the whole thing or something.
Yeah.
Kendrick, am I right on that? Look,
Kendrick Lamar put, in fact, I was just listening on the way in as a matter. Again, I'm just trying to be hip.
Right,
I don't know what I'm doing.
You don't know what you're doing.
I don't, but
that you're trying.
But I think you probably know what you're doing more than I do.
Yeah, maybe.
On this one.
Kendrick Lamar has a new song out called The Heart Part 4, and that is out. That was released last night. I don't know if it's had time to chart on Spotify yet. But in the global top 50. Oh, look at this.
I woke up to go to the bathroom at 3:00 this morning and I checked my timeline and it was full of people going, dude, Drake puts out 22 tracks and Kendrick kills him in one.
And that's and I like how did he like killed him by like
I don't I'm not
what does that
I'm
mean like
sure,
better
like,
song
I'm not sure if it was a better song or if he actually goes at him or if it was just the mere fact that I think Kendrick Lamar is kind of the god right now.
Yes.
And so from what I've gathered from the kids and the fact that like this other dude Drake, who everyone views as a poser, puts out this giant album and makes a big deal out of it, and Kendrick Lamar is like, oh really, one track, bitch.
That's my question, because I'm not tuned in with the kids, but I look at Drake's insane popularity, insane. Uh-huh. He had honestly, my favorite Drake song, I don't even think is a song, it's called Back to Back. It was a diss track to Meek Mill, and I guess he got into it with Meek Mill, and he destroyed Meek Mill and made fun of his relationship with Nicki Minaj, which doesn't happen anymore, with the is that a world tour, your girls tour kind of thing, and
someone can fill us in.
Yeah, because I don't. Here's the thing about Drake. Drake has massive ties to Kentucky, and one of the things when I was
for real, or are they like his ties with?
He has become tied into that program, and so being around, you know, DeMarcus's manager and I are buddies. Being around that enough, I now know enough people like. Andrew knew him back when, and they're still very good friends.
Like everything Degrassi days?
Yes.
Nice.
So the secondhand comments I've heard from people that know him is that Drake's actually a cool guy. He's a cool guy.
Uh-huh.
But I look at
he
the
wears a sweater vest for crying out.
That's my exactly. That's where I'm going, Katie. I'm with you. Here's my point. Drake seems like one of the all time. Like he is poised to be like destroyed. You've got a guy who was his
right,
real.
It's like he's there for fodder.
Right, but he's killing it yeah. right now. He was on Degrassi. His real name is Aubrey. Like he seems like he's completely overexposed. But people eat 19 of the top 20 spots on Spotify right now.
Yeah.
What the hell? What is the – I don't understand the Drake phenomenon.
Really, I don't really understand – well, I love Drake, first of all, but I can't believe that, like, 19 of his 22 songs are like, whatever. And, like, I'm not down with the lingo either. Like, whatever. People like them. But I don't get, like, the feuds. I don't get how now all of a sudden, like, people can, like, drop a record and then – like someone can come out the very same day and just do a diss track.
Yeah,
basically.
Well, it gets it going.
I mean, that's always been the game. You just don't have to wait for your wait for your record company to put it out anymore.
Exactly. People can now release things on their own, and there's a big one that's been going on for a while between Nicki Minaj and Remy Ma, which
Who I had never heard of until that.
I thought Remy Ma was a cognac.
I thought.
I swear to God.
I thought it was she was a. Classical violin player.
Right? That's Yo-Yo.
I know.
All right, we got a break. But I'll tell you, the next song that Drake puts out that doesn't have or like that's all he does in every effing song. And people eat That's every song starts with All right, we'll take a break.
It is not.
Morning Brew is next. March Madness back underway. And hey, speaking of diss tracks, Matt Barnes dropped a diss track on the Sacramento Kings, who happened to play the Warriors tonight. Stay tuned. Morning Brew next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. You'll hear a lot of a lot about this. How possible future King Lauri Markkanen was not gotten the ball quite a bit towards the end of the game.
Lauri,
didn't get the ball as much as they wanted to get him the ball or didn't. And that apparently had been a prevailing problem for Arizona all year. And the proper pronunciation, by the way, I believe is Xavier has beaten Arizona 73-71. They're in the Elite Eight and they are the best KD imitation we have, I think, of a Cinderella left in the tournament along with South Carolina.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was actually pleasantly surprised that they made it by because I kept thinking back to what Nate was talking about yesterday with our guy that came on, DeCourcy that came on and said, you know, if you've won 30 games, that's a pretty good formula for you. But this is the best part about the tournament is when you can see teams like Xavier that are able to kind of open a lot of eyes and just, I don't know, no one expects much from them. And I think there's something to not having high expectations because it takes a lot of the pressure off you.
Yeah, is this by design to some degree, too? It's not like Xavier is some chump school coming in as an 11, you know? And you've also got Wisconsin as an 8. They're Cinderellas, but not really Cinderellas. You can look at the seeding, but you wonder if this wasn't almost set up so that people, wow, an 11 beat a 2. It's Xavier, much like if Wisconsin makes it through to the Elite Eight. Impressive year for them doing that as an 8 seed, but it's Wisconsin. They're a have.
Xavier is an 11 seed. South Carolina is a 7 seed. But if South Carolina makes it into the Elite Eight, I'm going to look at that as a bigger Cinderella story in my mind than Xavier.
Yes, I'm with you on that.
The thing is, though, with all the kind of seeding things that we've talked about the last several days, you know, Wichita State was one that we talked about. Wisconsin was one. Xavier hasn't really been mentioned as a team that was like, oh, yeah, they were not seeded correctly. You know what I mean?
This is
probably the biggest upset other than, you know, Villanova being knocked off at this point.
I think so, too. And I think it's going to be interesting to follow along. And every other year, by the way, Xavier screws me. This year, I picked him out in the second round. And, of course, they go to the Elite Eight. And then last year, I think I had him in the Sweet 16. They were out in the first. Every other year, it seems like Xavier pops up.
Betting on red or black in roulette.
Exactly.
Like, you're like, oh, man, it was red that time. So you chase red, and then it's black. And
they're like March Madness herpes. Like, you never know when they're going to pop up. But then they pop up, and you're like, I didn't prepare properly.
Not just say that.
I did.
Yeah, you guys, Matt Barnes, I don't know if you remember that guy that the Kings let go a little while ago. His last game, actually, that he played with the Kings was against the Warriors right before the All-Star break. He had some things to say yesterday in San Francisco Chronicles, Connor, I don't know how you say, what do you say, Latourneau or, I don't know.
Probably Latourneau. Like,
Latourneau?
Like
Chip
Mary Kay.
Who was the guy yesterday, Chip Ford?
Chip Schaefer. Yeah. Chip Schaefer,
PI. This is what Matt Barnes said when asked about facing off against the Kings for the first time since they released him. I'm trying to kill them. Simple. They're the enemy now.
That's like probably not the smartest choice of words by Matt Barnes.
I know, right?
My favorite part of the quote was where he said it didn't go. Didn't he say it didn't go
Things
well
didn't
there?
Didn't go well there. They're the enemy now.
I'm split on this. Like, on one hand, anything Matt Barnes does, I want to be upset at. And by the way, the guys that are the enemy are paying you $2.1 million for the next 2 years, Matt. So I have that issue.
Yeah.
That's funny, right?
But then on the other hand, why are you going to get mad at a dog who barks?
Well, right.
This is Matt Barnes. That's what he does.
Exactly.
Do you want him to say, you know what, I really have a lot of love for those guys, and I hope we win by one? No, he wants to kill you.
But the thing about this that kind of bothers me, he should want to beat us. Absolutely should want to, because he plays for the Warriors now. That is what athletes do. Whatever uniform you put on, that is the team that you want to come out on top every single time, no matter what your ties are with other teams and coaches and players. It shouldn't matter. However, it's like saying I'm trying to kill them. Things didn't go well there. Things didn't go well with Vlade, because he's upset because Vlade released him. The reality of the matter is he's played for Dave Yeager for a long time. And I'm sorry, you guys. I'm starting to hear myself.
Yeah, we're getting okay. Well, let's skip ahead, Katie, because we're getting a bad reverb and move on. Here's, by the way, just in case you were wondering, Matt Barnes hot her down. Matt Barnes did have this to say. We actually do have the audio.
Good for him. Much like DeMarcus Cousins, I am no longer under any obligation to have that headache be a part of my life.
You talking about with Matt Barnes?
Yeah. I don't have any obligation to care about that anymore.
You took NBA Excedrin. You're cleared.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the game tonight. Oh, yeah. Were you going to?
No, that's you.
Okay. The Kings and Warriors, last time these two teams faced, very different roster. The Kings have retooled, and they're ready to go at a Warriors team that's got a bit of a different look.
23-point loss for the Kings the last time they played. And before that, of course, was that overtime victory. Maybe the most fun game, some would argue, of the entire season, when the Kings won 109-106 at Golden 1. Yeah, you just kind of get the feeling this is going to be – if the Milwaukee Bucks come in and they're able to absolutely sun the Kings on their home floor – and now you have Matt Barnes who's saying that publicly. Well, what's he saying privately? And I think that's the type of thing a lot of players, not that the Warriors need to get fired up, but a lot of players get into. Never say never, and you never know how something's going to work out. But honestly, this game tonight, I'm going to be watching the NCAA tournament, and I might have this on a corner TV and glance at it. But this just feels like it's going to be an embarrassing, demoralizing game for the Kings.
Yep, not looking forward to much, but you never know. Even Matt, Rocky, even Rocky was able to end the Cold War.
Yeah. Well, they did. I mean, they did win, but they, like you said, the Kings have retooled.
They have reloaded.
Want to remind everybody. Go to KHTK.com right now, if you would, and get into that 80s ballad bracket. If you haven't picked your winner, pick it now, because the voting starts today at 8:30, and the contest portion cuts off. So if you're not in, you're not in. You could win Disneyland tickets, Doug Christie signed basketball, an 80s prize pack that I bought myself. I picked it all out. And much, much more. Just go to KHTK.com, look for the big gray graphic, and get your butt in there.
I would also suggest that before you do that, you get some McCafe coffee in your system so you can make some good picks. You can enjoy new McCafe macchiatos, cappuccinos, or Americanos at McDonald's this week only. Try any small, just $1 each. That ends on the 26th, guys. Price of participation may vary for a limited time. I'm loving it.
Let's get into some March Madness next. Here's what we got today, kids. Chris Landry's going to join us at 7:30. We also, in addition to talking to Chris Landry, we have a list of proposed rule changes at the NFL meetings coming up in Phoenix next week, which we will be at along with spring training. We're broadcasting live Monday through Wednesday as opposed to broadcasting tape. David, I don't know what that means. Monday through Wednesday. Thanks, as always, to Jiffy Lube. Sam Amick of USA Today will join us at 8:05. And we have sound The two biggest screamers is somebody perfectly described it as the uncle's table at Thanksgiving. Stephen A. Smith and LeVar Ball trying to out-scream each other. Stay tuned for that later. We're back in 3 minutes on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. There's Drake.
They look up to me.
See, don't get me started on that, because my pregame before the show with Tom Maley from Pat and Tom over at KNCI next to us, we'll generally talk about total garbage before I come in here and talk about even worse garbage. If you could.
Oh, you sound good, Katie.
Yes, she does. Katie's with us, and we got the studio hooked up there.
Yes, we do. We're all set and ready to go. Nice. Only took 35 minutes. It's okay.
You got the operator sound. Hi, welcome in.
Well, it's because I'm in a traffic cubicle, so that means that I have my traffic voice
Your
on.
Your face is in a traffic cubicle.
Oh, Nate, here we go with you lashing out because you miss me,
angry.
So you be mean to me.
If you could pick a superpower and you had a choice between being able to pick any singer in history's exact voice and have it, or any guitarist's ability in history and have it, would you rather be an amazing singer or an amazing guitarist?
I'd rather have a cloak of invisibility.
Again, not the question, but I got gotcha.
You. I know.
I'll take the Harry Potter cloak.
I would take the singing any day.
Singing, Nathan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a tough one because like I actually play guitar a little bit, but like not great.
What? Why does that surprise anybody?
It shouldn't.
God, like you can't see Nate with long hair and a beard. You know, halfway blitz to the
moon. Oh, I thought you were going to say in a bong.
Yeah, exactly. Sitting there playing his guitar. God. Playing the first notes of Stairway.
But what I would probably do, play most of the song, even though Stairway, I would probably go with the singing just because you're not using these skills to make money, are you?
You can do whatever you want with them.
I feel like your voice goes, but your guitar skills never do, really.
Would you rather be Steve Vai or Slash or whoever? Or would you rather be, Freddie Mercury?
Not Freddie Mercury.
Or Steven Tyler or Robert Plant.
George Michael. because I was thinking, the reason I was thinking about whether you were using it for like fame and fortune is just because by far the cooler one without the fame and fortune would be the singing, because then you could just roll around to karaoke bars.
That's the exact reasoning I use. The point is that if this is a movie setup, it's like you meet an old man in the corner of a bar and he gives you a magic bean and he tells you if you swallow it that you're going to get you, and you close your eyes and you think about which one you want when you open your eyes.
If I go into any bar and some old man tells me to close my eyes and swallow a magic bean.
You're asking him to buy you a drink first.
What just happened?
Maybe even a lobster dinner.
I'm just saying that, and then you could do with it what you wanted. Maybe you start a career tomorrow and you form a band, or maybe you just, like you said, go around to karaoke. Matt?
I want Phil Collins' voice.
That's the voice you pick? I love Phil Collins, but of all the voices...
Have you ever heard a voice like Phil's? No, I've never heard a good Phil voice. Impression, so I would want Phil Collins' voice. I want to be able to do Drake's,
I don't know, man. I think I'd take Aerosmith. You know, we're talking about... Look at what we've thrown out there. What kind of show is... Who's on this show? Phil Collins... Steven Tyler, Robert Plant, I don't know, maybe Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder. There's a few R&B voices
out
there.
An invisible cloak from Harry Potter.
You pick Phil Collins.
Put your faces down and show your butt to me.
No, not the lyrics. Oregon squeaked by yesterday. Michigan.
Thank you.
Oregon scored, Katie, 69 points to Michigan 68, a 3 over a 7. And the Michigan Cinderella is over with guys like Jordan Bell of Oregon making fine plays. It would stay back and forth until Tyler Dorsey, however you want to pronounce it.
Oh, my goodness.
Had the go-ahead layup.
He's a player.
And 104 to play. Note that. 104 to play. That's important. 69-68. Note the similarities in the final call.
You guys, seriously, there was three really good games yesterday and one horrible game. Kansas. We haven't talked about this, but Kansas is absolutely rolling over teams.
Yes. That's right.
And we're not talking about it, obviously. I haven't really heard anybody talking about it because they're not exciting games. But this is a dangerous team. right now. Like, seriously.
Would either of you, and this in no way applies locally, but would you start, either of you considering taking Josh Jackson number one overall?
He's going to get some, he's going to get some notice that but he's going to get in that conversation.
That goes to the same kind of conversation, though, Nate, is we've had it about the importance of March Madness in making those decisions,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because I'm kind of torn on that part, right? Like, you don't want that to influence you too much, but just watching him, I mean, it's not just like there are good stats. I mean, yeah, this is a limited sample size, but I mean, some of the skill set that he shot, he can shoot and he can create his shot,
right,
and he's lengthy and athletic. There's a lot of things to like there.
We talked about this after the show yesterday because we have the LeVar Ball moment every single day, and we'll have one of those today, and how much we've been talking about LeVar and Lonzo and LiAngelo and LaMelo and everything else. You know, this show has been filled with
and
balls.
Do you realize we don't know the mother's name, but we know that she was picked for her breeding potential?
Tina, but point stands.
Tina Ball.
No one's talked about it. Whenever you see, like, the graphics, anything,
sure,
like, it's all about LeVar and his three boys.
Did you know that LeVar Burton's been getting heat on Twitter because people think he's LeVar Ball?
I retweeted that. He's been getting it all over the place. The point being, what I was trying to say is that all we're talking about is LeVar Ball and Lonzo Ball and one of the deepest drafts in recent memory and all that stuff. Yet the number one pick has been basically locked for months, and it's Markelle Fultz, and nobody is talking about him at all. He's like the lock. I have yet to see a mock draft where Markelle Fultz is not going number one. That just goes to show you, I don't know, LeVar Ball, that whole Ball thing, will that translate over to NBA GMs who don't care if you're on First Take?
That's funny. You said you've not seen, because this one, oh God, I just pulled. We'll talk about it after the break.
When we get back, we'll have an update on Ty Lawson and his court case, and also something the Phoenix Suns did and what they had in common with seven of the eight teams that played last night. We'll tell you next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Until when Matt takes over the music. Who is this, Flo Rida? Who is this?
Why
I don't know.
Do you say that?
No, Flo
really,
Rida does strip club
is it that hard for you
music
to be, like, normal?
Nope. Yep. What is
Flo Rida?
Who is this?
Kevin Gates.
Oh,
Big Kev.
Oh, I should have known. Oh, Kevin Gates.
Kevin Gates.
Have to assume it comes with some kind of hyphenated name.
I mean, they play him
his
in
name
Golden
is
One
Kevin
Center
Gates
every night.
Yeah.
I haven't been to Golden One Center in 2 months, so I...
You haven't been in a long time. What's up with that?
Long story. Hey, the Suns lost to the Nets last night, 126. Things are a little hot for me over there right now, 126-98. What was interesting, and I teased it as the what the Suns did, that something about the Suns and seven other teams last night. I probably should have, said NCAA teams.
Hey.
The Suns' average starting lineup last night, the average age was the youngest ever for an NBA team. Tyler Ulis, 21 years old. Devin Booker, 20. Derek Jones Jr., 20. Marquise Chris, 19. And Alex Len, the old man, at 23 years old. Only Purdue had a younger starting lineup of the eight teams that played last night than the Phoenix Suns. The Phoenix
Isn't
Suns,
that funny?
It's hilarious.
21 years, 14 days.
Yes. Only Purdue at 20 years, 265 days were younger. Arizona, Xavier, Kansas, Michigan, Oregon, West Virginia, and Gonzaga.
And that's because Purdue still has Robbie Hummel on their roster.
It worked really well for them, too, because they got blown out. It was like 126-98. And, wow, the Nets, man, coming on strong to end the season.
Because they don't have to tank. They don't have to tank. They've clinched it.
They don't have to tank because they're already the worst
team. And the Celtics get their pick anyways.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They don't care. It
says at the bottom of this write-up on here, several Suns veterans have been shut down for the season or on minutes restrictions in order to give the younger players more experience.
Yeah.
I'll hand this to Phoenix. That's the way to tank. That's how you do it. I would, and the Kings have kind of moved pretty close there, but I want to see Tyreek Evans shut down for the season.
At least the Kings are just shutting guys down like cycling games, you know? It's like they're not going to shut all the veterans down. They're like, oh, these two or three are out tonight. Well, I don't know, Dave. I don't have the answer.
No, but do they really need to shut guys down?
There you go.
I would say this. Yes, I agree with you. Do they really need to shut guys down in order to lose? Well, certainly not on a night like tonight. But then the Kings have what? Do they have 10 games left, 12 games left, somewhere in that?
I think we're at 11.
11 games.
I will say, if you do have any plans for Tyreek Evans to play for you next year, consider shutting him down.
Sure.
Or really, really dialing it back for him.
I would like to see – I would honestly, at this point, I would like it if at the end of the year, when you look at the standings, it has an L14 in the standings next to the Kings. They've lost three in a row. Just don't worry about it, man.
But hold on. Couldn't we make it like 10 in a row starting right now, and then you end on a four-three game streak, just so positive ideas?
I'll say this.
14 losses in a row to close the season.
Here's the thing. They're not going to, quote unquote, catch the Suns.
Let me give you their schedule, Dave.
They're 5.5 behind the Suns right now for the three spot. But the Kings currently have the 7th worst record in the NBA. They're 1.5 games out of the 4th worst record in the NBA. That's a pretty big jump in lottery balls. I'm fine with that.
I'm going to help you and make you feel a little bit better, Dave. And this might make our listeners not feel better. Yeah, I need to get your bottle. Wait for me. We've got Golden State tonight, obviously.
Loss.
Playoff team.
Loss.
The Clippers Sunday.
Loss.
Playoff team. Memphis
loss.
Monday. Playoff team. Utah Wednesday. Playoff team. Friday's going to be interesting. New Orleans. Yay.
Oh, Friday, New Orleans. New Orleans is going to crush them.
New Orleans on the road. Then they go to Minnesota.
Loss.
They've got Dallas, who is vying for a playoff spot right now. Much different team that was absolutely horrible when they beat us in Dallas earlier.
That's in Dallas?
That is at Golden One Center on April 4th.
Yeah.
Then they go to the Lakers on the 7th.
The Lakers?
The Lakers.
To the Lakers.
Some rubber balls down there, too.
Yes, absolutely. They've got Houston, playoff team, that comes on the 9th. They play the Suns. Now here's the good. Here's like the one shining moment right here for all of those teams that I read off. That final game of the season at Golden One Center is against the Phoenix Suns on April 11th.
Did you say one shining moment, Katie? Did I hear you say one shining moment?
I mean, maybe. Are you gonna play a song now?
Here you go.
Well, and while you do that, they close the season on the road against the Clippers playoff team.
Loss.
Just enjoy it.
Who is this?
You can't tell? Turn it up, Matt. Yeah, you couldn't tell who that was? Hold on, one more time for you.
Is that LeVar Ball singing?
No, listen. Come on.
Oh, that's Charles Barkley.
Yeah. That's Charles Barkley singing. Yes, he is most certainly different. And yes, I said a certainly. Ty Lawson was in Denver yesterday with his high-powered attorney, Harvey Steinberg.
Nice play on words, in Denver with a high-powered attorney.
You like that? Thank you. He was denying allegations that he violated his probation after pleading guilty in 2015 to driving while his ability was impaired. So here's what happened. They want to get him a monitor, an alcohol testing device, before his next court hearing in 6 weeks.
So that they can postpone it, basically.
Yeah, it's been postponed for 6 weeks.
Yeah, but that was the thing, saying, okay, give him a monitoring device. Because he's saying, they're alleging that he tested positive for alcohol on the 27th and 29th of September, and then again on February 2nd. That's part of his probation violation. Yes. They're also alleging that he did not complete his 48 hours of community service, which he's saying both are untrue. So, hey, postpone my court date, and I'll wear a monitoring device.
It seems like both of those things should be pretty easy to straighten out, right? Like, you either did the... Either did the community service or you didn't.
Yeah, you would think so, right?
Tested positive or you didn't.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like
there should be records, right?
This all seems like things that happen in court that rich people get that we don't. Right, right. I think if old Carmichael Dave was being arraigned yesterday on all this stuff, Carmichael Dave would be in jail right now. Right.
You're like, I didn't pass the test. I did it. They're like, no.
Yeah, but if I bring in Harvey Weinberg with me.
If you spend so much money on Amazon, you would be able to afford something other than a public defender.
Yeah, Ty Lawson's attorney. Harvey Weinberg. Just randomly bring a random Harvey Weinberg. I said it's high-powered attorney Harvey Weinberg. Katie, my Amazon addiction has actually cooled off. I'll thank you very much.
Okay, but
I almost bought a vacuum yesterday.
The point is the same, right?
Yes.
You would maybe not be able to afford Harvey Weinberg, but you would be maybe a step above a public defender.
Yeah, I'd be able to afford his.
I wonder if you could do an endorsement on the radio, like
for attorneys.
If you got in trouble for like unpaid parking tickets, right? And they're like, "Sorry, Dave, you owe $3,000 in unpaid parking tickets. You're going to have to serve 3 days in jail."
Traffic court attorney. I wonder if
you could do like a endorsement for an attorney.
We have attorneys and bail bonds and stuff. Problem is I could afford Harvey's black sheep drunken brother Chip Weinberg would be my attorney.
Would you get over this Chip Schaefer thing,
Larry Weinberg?
We're back in 4 minutes. When we return, we have all kinds of fun sound for you. We have sound of Stephen A. Smith and LeVar Ball screaming at each other.
My favorite thing ever.
We also have sound of Charles Barkley wanting to kill Skip Bayless. Yes, we do. We'll get to all that next on The Drive. Sports 11, like literally kill him. Sports 1140 KHDK.